Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
No intro music, Rosecast.
Somber.
Somber. Morale is low. Morale is low. Emergency podcast, Rim and AB.
Had to be done.
Had to be done for a couple reasons. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 4 days?
You got to
record again.
Mm-hmm. You got to get your takes out before they're stale takes.
Well, and
And before something comes out that makes you look stupid.
The other thing is, I don't want the next recap, if we do one.
Stop it, Rim.
It's on the table. To be clouded. So let's just do this separate.
That's an excellent point as well.
There have been many. I got a long thing written here. I'm going to run down. Everybody knows what this is about. All right, let's not beat around the bush.
Yeah.
I'm going to run down what happened, and then AB will take it from there. There
have been many. This is a special race court. We didn't say that. This is a special race court. Dun. Boom, boom, boom.
There have been many developments in the controversy we mentioned at the end of last week's episode. People are issuing statements, plural. There have been a flurry of official statements. Here's what happened. Late Wednesday night, an interview Chris Harrison did with Rachel Lindsay on Extra was released. They talked at length, to my shock.
15
they
minutes.
Talked at length for about the photos of Rachel, the contestant, at an Old South party, which we discussed last episode in 2018. This interview went about as poorly as reasonably possible, I think.
Well, that's extremely fair.
I think that's a fair assessment. It went poorly.
That's why we're doing this.
That's why it didn't go well. We're not here because it was great.
If Chris killed that interview, we wouldn't be doing this right now.
No, to say the least. We won't run down the entire thing. And AB, I'm sure you'll mention some specific moments from it.
Mm-hmm. I took notes like it was The Bachelor. Here's what happened, Rim. You got more?
I have a lot more. I'm just going to say everything that's happened.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
Long story short, it was a defense. It was more of a defense of Rachel than anything else. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. The next morning. So I actually watched that when I was editing the episode. Delirious. Late at night. It might have been after midnight when I watched that. So I was like, I can't believe what I just saw.
Too long. And Rim's having to edit way
That's
too late
here nor
the
there.
Night.
Neither here nor there. The point was like, I watched it and I was like, I woke up the next morning like, did that really happen? I'm not sure.
Did I watch Chris Harrison?
I might have dreamed that. So the next morning he was going around. And there is now an online petition to have Chris removed as the host. And as of this moment, it has
Where
over 30,000, probably 31,000 signatures. This is Friday morning.
31,001.
You just checked?
No, I'm going to add my name to the list.
Okay, got it. I didn't pick up on that because that's funny that you did that. Thursday evening, last night, Chris issued a statement. Less than 24 hours after this happened, Chris issued a statement. Do you want me to read the statement?
I'd love that. Yeah. How long is it?
Did you read it?
I think I did, but I could use a refresher.
All right. This is Chris.
If it's not too long.
It's not too long. Rachel's was longer. Spoiler alert, Rachel did too.
I'd like you to read Rachel's too, by the way.
How are we going to go long on this episode? I'm already mad. How
this
long
doesn't have a set time, but it's definitely going long.
I thought we were doing 12 minutes. Double it.
No, double that. It's going 30.
This is Chris's statement. To my Bachelor Nation family, I will always own a mistake when I make one, so I'm here to extend a sincere apology. I have this incredible platform to speak about love, and yesterday I took a stance on topics about which I should have been better informed. While I do not speak for Rachel Kirkconnell, my intentions were simply to ask for grace and offering her an opportunity to speak on her own behalf. What I now realize I've done is cause harm by wrongly speaking in a manner that perpetuates racism, and for that I am deeply sorry. I also apologize to my friend Rachel Lindsay for not listening to her better on a topic she has firsthand understanding of, and humbly thank the members of Bachelor Nation who have reached out to me to hold me accountable.
Y'all ain't friends, just to interject.
I promise to do better. That is Chris's statement. Not including the y'all ain't friends editorial note, maybe.
Just an editorial note, y'all are not friends, okay?
After that, I think shortly after that, Rachel, the contestant, issued a statement. Would you like me to read that?
I would love that.
Okay. This is longer.
I was going to request that you read that.
I'm the secretary of these affairs.
Well, people don't know exactly what's going on. I don't think everyone knows, and, you know,
that's fair.
Has
not
seen all this
as
stuff.
As
so this gives
online
a,
is,
yeah, this gives a good.
This is Rachel. Calibri font. Think she should have put a little more thought into that. That's my opinion of as a font guy.
What's a serious font?
Oh, Times New Roman. You have to have a serif font. I'd have gone Garamond even, but people don't put a lot of effort. They put more effort in the apology than the fonts, and that's understandable.
Okay.
While there,
Garamond.
They shouldn't be making light of this. While there have been rumors circulating, are we done with laughing about the font?
Listen, I just typed in Garamond. I didn't remember exactly what that looked like. That's a serious ass font.
It's a serious font. It's a serious, elegant font.
Okay, continue.
While there have been rumors circulating, there have also been truths that have come to light that I need to address. Mm. I hear you, and I'm here to say I was wrong. It should be noted, as part of this caption, so she posted this on Instagram, and her Instagram caption, which is separate from this written statement as an image.
I didn't catch what that was.
Was basically like, white people this ain't for you, so shut up. So that's the, I hear you. She's not talking to me when she says, I hear you.
Gotcha.
She's talking to God. So just a little bit of nuance there.
Okay.
I hear you, and I'm here to say I was wrong. At one point, I didn't recognize how offensive and racist my actions were, but that doesn't excuse them. My age or when it happened does not excuse anything. They are not acceptable or okay in any sense. I was ignorant, but my ignorance was racist. I am sorry to the communities and individuals that my actions have harmed and offended. I am ashamed about my lack of education, but it is no one's responsibility to educate me. I am learning and will continue to learn how to be anti-racist because it's important to speak up in the moment and not after you're called out. If you are a person who doesn't understand the offense in question, I urge you to learn from my mistakes and encourage you to use them as a teachable moment. As for my family, I love them and how they raised me to be my own individual. They have always encouraged me to have my own views, opinions, and beliefs. As I was thinking about what I wanted to say, I couldn't help but think about how sick people must be of reading these kinds of statements. How a person who didn't realize the trauma that their actions would inflict on other people. It must get so exhausting. I want to put my energy towards preventing people from making the same offensive mistakes that I made in the first place, and I hope I can prove this to you moving forward. Racial progress and unity are impossible without white accountability, and I deserve to be held accountable for my actions. I will never grow unless I recognize what I have done is wrong. I don't think one apology means that I deserve your forgiveness, but rather I hope I can earn your forgiveness through my future actions. That was Rachel, the contestant. Shortly after that, last statement.
I don't know what you're going to say here.
This is some of the cast members from this season.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. So this was kind of a joint thing. We are the women of Bachelor Season 25. 25 women who identify as BIPOC were cast on this historic season that was meant to represent change. We are deeply disappointed and want to make it clear that we denounce any defense of racism. Any defense of racist behavior denies the lived and continued experiences of BIPOC individuals, Black Indigenous people of color.
Mm-hmm.
These experiences are not to be exploited or tokenized. Rachel Lindsay continues to advocate with grace, in quotations, because that was Chris's word, for individuals who identify as BIPOC within this franchise. Just because she is speaking the loudest, it doesn't mean she is alone. We stand with her, we hear her, and we advocate for change alongside her. So those are the statements. AB, what do you think?
Well, where do you want to start, Rem? There's
your choice.
Do we want to talk about Chris's interview in depth, or are we going to just talk about...
Up to you. I think we could do...
Let's start with Rachel's apology first.
Okay.
In terms of apologies, that was pretty good for a couple reasons. She took accountability. I wish she would have got a little more specific, because it's hard to teach people what she did wrong if she's not admitting exactly what she did wrong. So that's one little note for
good
her.
Point.
But she did take responsibility. My assumption is she's admitting to all of it based on her not telling us what exactly she's talking about. But she did have that part at the start that made it seem like there's some non-true stuff out there as well. So, again, I could use some more specifics to see what she's talking about. And also that would help with people understanding what she did that was wrong. She also mentioned what she's going to do in the future, which is a part of a good apology, not just apologizing, but what are you going to be doing in the future to make sure this doesn't happen, and also so you grow as a person. She mentions that. But overall, in terms of a written out, you know, speech, it was pretty good. There's a couple other things about her apology, and I don't know if this is the right point to say it, but the stuff she's talking about, and I'm going to admittedly say I didn't look into this enough when we talked about it earlier this week. I don't think either of us had the full picture.
No, I knew about the
party picture. I knew about the party picture.
The photos.
I didn't know
the party,
about any of the other stuff. I've done a lot more digging since then. I don't think I would have been as wait and see as I was, because that was kind of what we both said. We wanted to see what she said. I also didn't realize it was 6 weeks ago that some of this stuff was dug up. So we're talking about January, we're in the middle of February now. 6 weeks have gone by. This is an extremely late apology, just from a timeline standpoint, which also makes me wonder what caused her to do this apology now? Because it seems like the plan before this, from everything I could tell, was just try to let this slide by, right? So what changed? Was it the Chris Harrison interview? I listened to some stuff from Rachel Lindsay, and she said she had heard that she was going to be making an apology this week anyways. I'm still not fully understanding why the apology came when it did. And it's a problematic, it's, to me, it's problematic that she waited 6 weeks, extremely.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It the timing is curious for her to release
it. Do you think
it
had something to do with Chris?
I think that probably
sped it up.
If they, you know, but who knows? That's speculation. I don't know. I've seen people say, well, ABC didn't let her do it earlier. With something like this, I think you should be willing, if just say fuck it and do it.
Well,
like,
Rachel,
what's the worst? What are they going to arrest you if you break your contract with ABC?
Rachel mentioned in the Chris interview that nothing's holding her back from responding on her social medias like she did.
And Chris even said, like, she can say whatever she wants. He made it seem like she was not being held back by that.
Rachel put out a podcast, I think yesterday night, or maybe it was yesterday during the day or something. And I listened to that, and she went into that a little further. Their contract set, and I trust her. I mean, she's been a contestant and the lead, so in terms of people that know what those contracts, and she's a lawyer, so in terms of people that fully understand the contract and what they can and can't do, I would trust Rachel more than almost anybody. So she said they can't do other media without approval. So Rachel couldn't give like a Barbara Walters interview, for example, you know, trying to clear her name. But they have full control of their social media. There's nothing stopping them from putting out a statement on their own social media, which again does not sit well for how long it took to get this apology out.
Agreed. Anything else on Rachel, or do you want to talk about Chris, the interview?
Let's talk about the interview.
What do you think about that? I'm sure you watched it all.
I watched it yesterday. Couldn't make it through. Too mad. I don't know the last time I've watched someone talk about something that has made me feel that way. And that's stupid to say because he's just the host of The Bachelor. But
I know what you mean, though. Yeah.
I didn't expect this from him. I don't know why I didn't expect this from him. But this was a bad, bad, bad interview. I'm stunned that this happened. Absolutely stunned. How did ABC allow this to happen? How did he go on? And how did he talk for 15 minutes about this? Like, why was someone...
it's crazy.
That's part
I can't
of
believe it.
It
happened.
Like, we'll jump into all the stuff that he said. And obviously, him. It's good that he did have this interview, because now we have a full picture of Chris Harrison. but when stuff like this happens, it still is just mind-boggling to me that he was allowed to go for that long. I can't understand it.
That was my biggest thing, was like,
how did this
happen? I'm shocked this is occurring. This is going to sound weird, but I think part of it is we saw what happened with him in the GOAT episodes, where it seemed like he's kind of on his own saying what he wants to say without a bunch of people in the room telling him what to say and do.
Yeah.
I think it's possible Rachel texted him, said, "Do you want to Zoom about this?" 10 minutes later, he's on the Zoom talking, you know, "Let me put a jacket on and we'll do it." You don't know if this is the official ABC stance or if this is Chris just like, "Fuck, you know, let's talk about it." And then
I think it's definitely a Chris fuck it situation, but this was like a predetermined, he goes on Extra all the time. So this was an extra interview. Like they had talked, this was an interview that had other stuff before this. This was just the end of his normal Bachelor interview with Extra and Rachel. So,
well, never mind then.
I think he knew, like, I don't think it was just a spur of the moment. You want to come on and talk about Rachel.
Okay.
This was a question Rachel asked at the end of a segment that they normally do about The Bachelor. And that's.
Well, then this is, bonkers.
So I assume there are other people like that can hear. I mean, this is, it went so bad. That is like one of those situations where someone pulls you off the camera or they slam the computer shut. Like, I don't care how this looks. We need to stop this immediately.
Yeah. All right.
That's how bad it was.
I agree. This is crazy. Do you have any, you want to drill down on anything specific? I mean, it's up to you.
Yeah, let's just go into the Chris interview.
I don't have notes on it all, so you're going to have to
notes.
Lead that.
He starts out, it starts off with an extremely bad tone. Just from the start, I knew, this is not going how I thought this would. He starts off, "We all need to have a little grace and a little understanding and a little compassion." He uses grace a lot. He then goes into, and you hear this a lot nowadays, but he says this judge, jury, and executioner thing that's going on in the world is just getting to be too much. Anyone that has a problem with people being held accountable, you know they're about to say something extremely problematic right after. He took issue with people digging into the girls' lives, which people started digging because they found some problematic stuff, and there's some people that know her, or at least claim to know her, have some stuff to say about her. So they're doing digging, and everything they're finding is coming up racist. Why would you defend? I just don't understand that logic of defending that. When your main thing when someone digs up something racist about someone is like, you shouldn't have been doing that digging. That's a problem to me.
Yeah.
He then goes into, he said, "I saw a picture of her at a sorority party 5 years ago, and boom, that was it. She's casted as a villain." Couple things. It wasn't five years ago.
5 years ago.
That's just something people do. It was in 2018. She's 24. So that would put her at 21, right? So this is 3 years ago. He also says what I would characterize one of the most outlandish statements I've ever heard someone say as fact. He said it as fact. 50 million people did this in 2018. 50 million people attended.
There's only 50 million college students in the country.
What are you talking? That's I can't think of a crazier fact that he used. 50 million people attended these Old South parties. I had never heard of these Old South parties, I guess.
It's not surprising to me that this happened. I watched Southern Charm, so this was not surprising. I guess I didn't know how common, again, nothing that has come out since has shocked me, but I was not aware of how common they are and still are. So that has been.
It sounds like sororities and fraternities have banned these since then and before this.
So that's one thing someone messaged us was that her specific sorority did ban these parties 2 years prior. So that kind of, so this was held off. This was like unsanctioned, held off campus for that reason. So that,
so basically there, I haven't done enough research on what an Old South party is, but it sounds like it's at an antebellum house and they dress up as
the time,
the good old days.
Yeah.
And there's like some slave context there. I mean, they're in a slave house dressing up as slave owners, basically.
I think Rachel in the interview with Chris put it as succinctly as you can when she said, if I were there, what would I be? There's kind of no comeback to that.
Yeah.
Stuff like that can be depicted in art and education. When it's a celebration,
yeah,
a party for a sorority, I think it just has a different flavor when let's get together and celebrate this grand old time.
Yeah.
You can finish a sentence. It has a different vibe to it than
absolutely
the other way. So anyway, go ahead.
I just want to touch on a couple things that stood out to me. He keeps talking about 2018 like it was, you know, 15, 30 years ago. We're talking about, what is he talking about?
I don't know. That was,
what was
that
he talking
no
about?
Sense.
He said, maybe in 2021, this will be a problem, those Old South parties. But not back in 2018. Like, anything went in 2018. And he said that he kept using 2018 as if it was so long ago. I'm very confused because the racist comments weren't okay then either. Like, no, this wasn't new. And I mean, I guess if you're talking about the landscape has changed a little bit since then with, you know, George Floyd in particular. And all the other, you know, the racial injustice in the protests and all that stuff that has happened, the Black Lives Matter movement. So yeah, the landscape has changed a little bit, but not
to the point where this would have been where no one would have cared then.
This wasn't okay then either. I just think a bunch of people didn't know this was going on.
Yeah. Anything else about in Chris's? That Chris has said that you wanted to.
One thing really stood out to me as a Black person that he talks about her often being just 18 and having fun. And I'll tell you what that reminds me of, Rim. It reminds me of when Black kids get charged with a crime and they get charged as an adult. The same leniency is not, like, I don't think he would hold the same leniency with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminded me of that, how when a white person makes a mistake in their 20s, it's like, well, they're just kids messing around, having fun. It's just kid stuff. But it doesn't seem like Black people and people of color get that same type of treatment when they do stuff wrong. And that really stood out to me with some of the stuff with that. I just got that vibe from Chris. Like, he was trying to make her seem as young as possible.
Totally.
Like, keep going lower and lower. Like, she was 15 with the, so nothing matter. Like, number one, she wasn't 18. But even if she was 18, 18 isn't that young. yes, you can make mistakes and it shouldn't mess up your whole life, but you should still be held accountable for the stuff you do it when you're 18 or 21.
Good point. I'm with you. As far as the Chris interview goes, you said you were surprised that you probably shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
I unfortunately wasn't. I think I've probably watched more Chris Harrison interviews just by virtue of social media stuff. He's been
dropping
a little hints. Like
Rachel
this.
Said on her podcast that this is just, she wasn't surprised about this. She was surprised that he did it on camera, but she wasn't surprised.
I was surprised that he did it at all.
Yeah.
And I was surprised at the length and
the
doubling down and the really not giving an inch. That was a little surprising, but no, his attitude toward it was not. He's a 50-year-old guy.
He kept saying had woke this too. That was
that's
annoying.
I think that's his main beef, and that kind of exacerbates all the other issues he has. Is that he's just like, you know, he's built up this boogeyman of the woke police, and he just now that colors every issue like this that pops up. That's what he clings to as like, well, they're, you know, out of control.
Yeah, it's going to be something bad when someone says they have a problem with, like, when they're using woke in that context or, you know, cancel culture, and they have a problem with that.
Antagonistically,
yes, big time, but also they're completely avoiding the reason why the person's in trouble, and they're more mad at that they're in trouble than the reason that the person got in trouble to begin with, which is just confusing to me.
So what do you think, Gabe?
One other thing about Chris.
Oh, go ahead.
When he says the "Who are you" to Rachel, and the "Who the hell are you?"
Yeah, a little.
Just
he's an idiot.
He's an idiot. I mean
you just wrap it.
What is he
we
doing?
We could have skipped the last 20 minutes and gone, the guy's an idiot. So what do you think, AB? You want him out? What do you? I mean, it is such a bummer right now to be a fan of this show.
It's a bummer.
I'll be honest. If we didn't like have commit, I would probably just be out for a while on the show. If we didn't have to, you know, if we didn't recap,
this was a huge bummer.
Yeah, this doesn't make me feel good about watching.
I don't know what's gonna happen. People have lost their job for a lot less than this. I mean, this was horrible. Just talking over a black woman for no reason, completely downplaying all accusations at someone. Do you think he's going to get fired?
No.
I don't think he will either.
I thought for a while the day after, I was like, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
I think it's possible, but yeah. If I were betting right now, I would assume that he's not going to be gone.
If
you want to make a big power move, you just make Rachel the host and we move on and we, I mean, that's the move, right?
That would be the
move. If you want to make the move, that's the move.
I didn't consider that, yeah. I understand. Hey, I get if people don't want to watch anymore. We all make these deals with ourselves about like how much we can stomach as consumers, because Lord knows a lot of the entertainment and a lot of the products we consume do not have pure backgrounds or intentions or whatever. So we all do that. And if someone wants to say that's it for me,
absolutely,
then I totally understand. And if you don't, you know, I'm not going to condemn you.
No, and that's
kind of
where
to watch the show, because apparently we are.
I didn't. That never crossed my mind. I guess I'm trying to think of how to say this, but the rule I follow here in these type of situations is I'm not going to let this negatively impact my life too. I really enjoy The Bachelor. I'm not going to let Chris Harrison fucking ruin that because he's a scumbag. I will look at him way differently the rest of my rest of my days. I'll never look at him the same. I hope he's not on my screen, but if he is, I'll just ignore him. Like, I'm not going to let him ruin everything that I enjoy. That's not fair to me.
My hope is that the best outcome, in my view, Rachel and Chris are almost ancillary figures now.
Mm-hmm.
The controversy is surrounding them and what they said and did and their subsequent apologies. The best outcome for me is not new host of the show or Rachel fades into obscurity. The yeah. best outcome is that this attention on these parties, for a lot of people who didn't know much about them, including us, that those who may throw them or attend them now think twice about it, and maybe more organizations, if they haven't already, ban them in the future. And this is like a turning point for those parties, so that 10 years from now, people can go, remember when this happened about these parties, and that's why we don't do them anymore, for something like that. I think Rachel has a decent opportunity. There have been people who have done abhorrent things, things worse than this,
Absolutely.
That have totally turned it around and become advocates for change in these areas. I can list athletes and things like that.
Countless people.
Other celebrities that Absolutely. Have done that. And frankly, that gets less attention than the controversy itself, which is the nature of society.
Sure.
But she has an opportunity to be a positive person in this space
Absolutely.
Now. So maybe she will.
Hopefully she will.
And maybe Chris will too. I'm less convinced that that will happen with him. He's good. He's got his money. He could
Chris
lose his job
Chris
and be fine.
Chris isn't doing anything.
Yeah, I'm not holding
you
my breath on that.
Listen, when you're 50 years old, and I'll be the same way, I'm not changing.
Well, you're a 50-year-old multimillionaire.
Yeah, you're not. You're you not know. Making huge sweeping changes in your philosophies in life.
So that's my hope for the outcome. I'm not, you know, my driving... What happens to them too is not the main, I don't think should be the main thing here.
No, along with that, on a smaller scale, I totally agree with everything you said, but hopefully, and I'm not holding my breath because we've said this for 5 years now, hopefully this invokes some change in The Bachelor as well, because once again, just from the outside looking in, we have a Black Bachelor right now, and they didn't do their proper... due diligence to make sure that someone like this wasn't on the show. So now we have this show kind of, hopefully she doesn't go far. I think we all know she's going to go far, but we have,
I think that's clear.
We have this person that has all this racist stuff out there, and there's tons of it, like tons of
more
stuff.
More than initially
then
understood.
Like, now that I've looked into some of the accusations at her, there's a laundry list of problematic things that she's done. In the past, not that long ago. And now she's on a show dating a Black man, possibly winning and getting engaged to a Black man. What if she gets engaged? Like, you can't, ABC can't have this. You have to be better. You have to do better as a show. You have to get Black people involved. You have to do way better research into these contestants and make sure stuff like this doesn't happen, because it makes you feel disgusting now. Every time I see these two on screen, I feel disgusted.
Yeah.
Okay, that can't happen. Hopefully the show does better from now on because of this. Something huge happening. Like every time I see them together, I just see a racist.
It's gonna be
and
shitty
Matt James.
To recap. Like
it's
the rest of the
shitty.
Season is ruined.
It's shitty. It's like Garrett, except even worse. Because what if Becca
it's
was
worse.
A Black woman and yeah. it was Garrett? It's the exact same situation.
It's shitty. That's what
it's
I'm saying.
Shitty.
Dude.
You have
I mean,
to do
it's
better, Bachelor.
But the
ABC.
The
you have
is
to do
now.
Better. You can hire some people off Reddit if you can't figure out how to find this stuff. Like, people on Reddit seem to find it way better than you do. So whatever you need to do to make sure that you're doing the proper search of these people to get the right people on this show so we can avoid these controversies, the better. Because this isn't what anyone wants. With
no,
the
I don't
want
to have to do these
no
podcasts.
This
sucks. Like,
it sucks.
We just want to get plenty of other TV shows on other channels have managed to have non-white people on their shows without incident. It's just not. It's really. It's just not that
it's
fucking
not hard.
Hard.
It's
not
hard.
That hard.
It's not hard.
All right. Anything else, AB? We'll see. Should be a fun episode next week.
This is going to ruin certain parts of the rest of this season. I'm still excited for the rest of this season. Hopefully she doesn't win.
I'm not. Usually, as everyone knows, I love the absolute most outrageous.
Not this. You don't want this.
I don't not.
Yeah, you don't want this. You don't want this. No.
Yeah. But like we said, hey, Rachel has a real opportunity to be a positive force in the world now.
And she talks, and she talked about it, and she had a...
She might do it.
She and in her apology, she says the right things in terms of being better and using her platform and making sure that people don't make the same mistake she does. Hopefully, She takes action on that. We'll see.
Yep. Talk to you later.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.